During this Easter season, we have been reflecting on the message series theme of redemption. And redemption is that way that we enter into a fuller understanding, acceptance of how God has saved each and every single one of us. During the Easter season, we're especially called to rejoice in how we have been saved, how we've been redeemed by God. And as we come to this third week of Easter, so far we've had the opportunity to reflect on two characters in Scripture and how they were saved. During Easter Sunday, week one, Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene represents those who have been saved and who committed very serious sins. Mary Magdalene did some pretty bad stuff before she came to know Jesus, and she entered into that redemption, that salvation that Jesus brought to her. And because she had had that type of a conversion, that type of a transformation in her life, she did not abandon Jesus at the moment of Jesus' greatest need, because she knew how much she had been saved. She knew what Jesus had done for her, and she stayed through that place. She represents those who, when they experience that redemption and salvation, allow themselves to be completely saved and redeemed at that particular moment. Last week, we reflected on St. Thomas, who has the nickname of Doubting Thomas. St. Thomas represents those who accept Jesus' redemption, salvation, but only at a certain level of their heart. And so then they face a type of situation, circumstance, and they revert. They go back to old ways. Just like St. Thomas, when he was faced with Jesus' passion and crucifixion, that he abandoned Jesus in that moment because it hit upon a place in his heart, his life, where he had not yet fully allowed that redemption and salvation of God to enter into his life. This week, we reflect on the disciples who are not named disciples, but are what sometimes we'll call the Emmaus disciples, because there is no given name to them. And this particular gospel passage that we just heard proclaimed follows what is called the Emmaus passage. The Emmaus passage is one we're all familiar with, but just as a quick reminder, it's when the two disciples are going away from Jerusalem towards a place called Emmaus, and Jesus meets them along the road. At first, they do not recognize him, but after they share a meal with him, their eyes are open, and then they recognize Jesus. So the Emmaus disciples, these two disciples that we once again hear of in today's gospel, represent those who have experienced God's redemption, God's salvation in their lives, but they're blocked from fully allowing themselves to accept that salvation of God because of their fears. The Emmaus disciples struggle with fears in two consecutive gospel passages. They struggled with fear when they saw Jesus, when he met them along that way, when they were so discouraged and leaving Jerusalem and going to Emmaus. They have that moment when they fall into fear. But then in today's gospel as well, they fall into fear again. And it's always a little ironic to me because they had just seen Jesus appear and had that moment and then disappear in front of them once he recognized them. And then he appears again and they're afraid again. And it's something that I think, though, we can all relate to. I know there have been moments in my life when I give a certain fear over to God. I say, God, save me from this fear so that it will no longer impact me. It'll no longer cause me to go back into a particular sin pattern. But then what happens? Something happens, and I'm afraid again, and I do the exact same thing over again, right? So the Emmaus disciples represent that struggle that we can have, where we fall into certain fear patterns. And when those fears have an activation in our life, then we can go away from God. We can forget that God has saved us, that God has redeemed us. And a prayer that helps me a lot whenever I find that my fears have been activated in my life and I'm struggling with the same fears over and over again is I like to say, Lord, this is the fear that I'm struggling with. I'm struggling, Lord, with a fear that I'm going to be rejection. And Lord, I want to give that fear of rejection over to you. I ask you to save me, Lord, from this fear of rejection. And when I name that particular fear, and when I ask God to save me from that particular fear, I find a transformation, a change happens. So again, if you too have a fear that maybe you struggle with, maybe it's rejection, maybe it's abandonment, maybe it's something totally different from those, whatever fear it might be, you can name that fear and say, Jesus, I give to you this particular fear that I'm struggling with, and I ask you to save me from that fear. And Jesus will help to bring about a transformation, and that fear will no longer block us from experiencing that salvation, that redemption of God within our own lives. Now, in today's gospel, we also hear something which can seem kind of strange. At least I think it's strange at first. Why is it that so much attention is given to how Jesus is eating with his disciples? If you look at it, it's very intentional how much detail is put into Jesus eating after he has resurrected, after he's risen from the dead. And the reason for this is because we want to emphasize the bodily resurrection of Jesus. Jesus' disciples consistently are afraid every time he appears to them after the resurrection. And it's because they think he's a ghost at first, that he's just a spirit. He addresses those fears each time when he says, "Peace be with you." And then, in some way, shape, or form, he emphasizes that he has a physical body. With Thomas, the way he emphasized that is he told Thomas to put his finger into his side. And so Thomas did that and realized Jesus is here physically. He's not just a spirit. In today's gospel, he does this by eating a meal. He literally takes that food from them. They see him eating that food. A spirit does not do that. It's someone who has a body. And it points to an important teaching on the resurrection. God doesn't just want to save or redeem our spirit, our soul, our spiritual nature. He wants to redeem, he wants to save our physical nature, our body as well. We believe in a bodily resurrection. And this is actually personally one of my favorite teachings of the church. And I want to share why it's one of my favorite teachings of the church. I face a daily struggle. Maybe you do or do not face the same struggle. And the daily struggle that I face is that there are times when my spirit says, you don't need any more Dr. Pepper, and my body says, no, you do need more Dr. Pepper. Maybe some of you have that as well, in your own way. But it's this battle we face, I know I face on a daily basis, between my spirit says, don't do that, and my body says, no, I want to do that. And I'm at war within myself. Spirit saying one thing, body saying another thing. St. Paul himself points to this, of how the spirit says things, but the flesh is weak, right? There are moments when my spirit says, you should go pray some more. And my body says, no, I just want to collapse and veg out and go to sleep right now. We have these moments where there's this battle between our spirit and our body, and they're saying two separate things. But with the bodily resurrection, the reason why I love this teaching is it gives me hope. The bodily resurrection says that one day our spirit and our body will be so integrated that they'll no longer be at war with each other, that the two will always be in agreement with each other. And that gives me hope every time I face that daily battle of my spirit saying one thing and my body's saying another particular thing. And maybe if you face that same struggle, where your spirit says, no, you shouldn't do that. And by the way, I keep saying spirit, but some people would substitute the word conscience for the way I'm referring to spirit right now. But if your spirit is saying one thing and your body's saying another, hold on to that hope of that bodily resurrection and pray for that. Say, Lord, I want you to help integrate me so that I'm no longer at war within myself when I do the thing that I do not want to do, as St. Paul speaks to us of. And God wants to give us that hope of that transformation, of that resurrection, of not just our spirit being saved, but of our body being saved as well, and no longer having that war that we can fight with inside of ourselves on a daily basis. On this particular Sunday, we hold on to that hope, and we say, God, I give to you any of my fears, and I ask you to save me from them. And I give to you those ways that my body and spirit are at war with each other, and I ask you to save me in that place of my life as well.